Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 18 of a year-long conversation. Today, we're going to be talking about, are Democrats less likely to forgive a sex scandal than Republicans? Are Republicans more tolerant of sex scandals, which kind of flies in the face of conventional wisdom? But first, let me bring up my co-host, Blue in Alabama's Michael. Michael, are you as bored to death with these primary results as I am?
No, not at all. It's such a close race. Do you not see Rhode Island? I'm sweating over here. Hillary gave Rhode Island away.
How could she lose the smallest state in America? I mean, really, what a crucial blow to her campaign. 33 electoral votes. I mean, that's gonna be make or break in a contest where the Democrats need 2,400.
Yeah, you know Bernie's motto: every delegate counts, except the ones that are not voting for him.
Yeah, I guess we'll try not to gloat. But Hillary had a pretty great night on Tuesday. I mean, pretty much the last couple of weeks, Bernie has been like he has to win New York, and he lost in a landslide. He has to win at least half of the states that voted Tuesday. And he lost four of them. I feel like I'm missing something. I just don't see how this is good news, but he keeps turning it into good news somehow or another.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he turns this one around.
I mean, Bernie, he doesn't need to be president. He needs to be like the optimism czar of America. Like, I don't think he really knows anything about the economy, but if you could put him in charge of just like a figurehead economic position, like on the season premiere of Veep, they had economic czar, job czar, something like that. If they could give that to Bernie, like no actual power, but he was just, we're doing great, and we're still in this thing, we're going to win it. Keynesian economic theory, which I believe in, basically says that the economy is only as good as people think it is. Everybody thinks the economy is about to hit a depression. They're all going to start hoarding their money. They're not going to be buying anything. They're going to really cut back on their consumption, and they're going to create a depression as an inadvertent result of that. And the opposite's true. If people feel like the economy is doing great, and they're going to have a job, and there's no end in sight, they're going to spend money and basically create a great economy. He's not constrained by the numbers, that's for sure. Like, math is not any kind of a barrier to him. He can break through walls like nobody's business when it comes to math and things like that.
Yeah, he can.
When you said that about Rhode Island, I got on Twitter Tuesday night, and I did see a lot of his fans basically say that Hillary didn't get Rhode Island, and it doesn't fucking matter. His fans seem very confident. They still seem to think victory is just right around the corner.
I learned a long time ago to stop trying to understand Sanders supporters.
Yeah.
I have to quit trying.
I feel like any day now I'm going to say something like, but he's lost all the delegates. Delegates are a tool of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Poll numbers are Wall Street. Numbers are a well-known pawn of Wall Street. And now the big thing that they're saying is that somehow Hillary's been able to steal this race. I mean, Hillary, man, she must really be sneaky.
You know, I love Clinton.
I know. I think we've underestimated just how devious Bill and Hillary are, that they've been able to maneuver the biggest fraud in American history. And I mean, I love too when you'd be like, well, could it be that Bernie's just not as popular as you think he is? No, they've stolen half of the states by huge margins that were not even close. Somehow they've managed to do it. Like when she lost to Michigan, and every single poll said she would win Michigan, and she lost. Like, I didn't think he stole it. You have a bad day, you lose states. I kind of understood what they were saying about Iowa. Like, I understood that. That kind of made sense to me. But a state like New York that is massive and he loses by 15 points.
Yeah, you can't.
Like Tim Robbins said, well, the results don't match the numbers. All the polls have been wrong. No, they're not. They're not wrong. Like every fucking week we have the same thing where Bernie's fans at like poll numbers, but we saw Amy Goodman go on Real Time with Bill Maher, and she basically said, we've seen poll after poll after poll be wrong. No, we haven't.
Okay, we saw
Trump, he lost Iowa, which he was supposed to beat Ted Cruz, and Bernie won Michigan, which he was supposed to lose that to Hillary, but those are two states and two different parties. I mean, the vast majority of the polls have accurately reflected exactly what was going to happen in these states. And no poll said Hillary was going to lose New York. No poll said Trump was going to lose any of the states on Tuesday night, but when he had a clean sweep, people keep pretending like it's somehow surprising, or there's theft, or something going on, like there's some kind of shenanigans at the polls, and I'm like, there's not a single poll that said Trump was going to lose any of those states. When he had a clean sweep, it was like, God damn it, this must be the end of the world.
Well, I mean, for a lot of people, it is. I mean,
fair, that's fair.
Probably American Airlines is seeing an increase in their number of flights for 2017. The closer he gets to the nomination. Canada is raising up like prices for houses and apartments.
No, it's a good thing Canada. It's a good thing that Canada is vaguely socialist, because if they were like America, they would jack up the expatriate process. People moving there or whatever, they'd be like, yeah, we're going to take American exiles at $100,000 a pop. Canada had a President Trump, America would be like, come on in, Canadians. By the way, there's a one-time tax of $15,000 you got to pay when you get here. So even the moderate Republicans, like their immigration proposal was that the illegal immigrants, they would pay like a one-time payment of like $25,000 or something like that. And I'm like, you think they have $25,000? Like, oh, let me just move this money out of my Roth IRA. I mean, I don't want to draw it out so early, but my retirement plan clearly lets me do this. It's kind of incredible to think about how Donald Trump, he's actually been around a really long time. Like, I think people talk about him like he's a new phenomenon, and in politics, he is a brand new phenomenon, but he's been a celebrity for a really long time, and this is kind of random, but AMC, the TV network, they've been showing all the Lethal Weapon movies, which I've never seen most of them. I'm a movie fan, and I felt like, well, I should watch them or whatever, but I believe it was the second one back in, like, 1989, when the two main characters, Mel Gibson, before he disgraced himself, you know, back when he was, like, a really big star, and Danny Glover, this, like, container that's got money, like, I like money from head to toe, like billions of dollars, and they said, oh man, this is like Donald Trump rich. So I'm thinking like, man, this is like 30 years ago, and they're talking about Trump, and like even back then he was synonymous with lifestyles of the rich and famous. It's kind of incredible to think about a guy who even in the 80s and was like this bonfire of the vanities, like tabloid type character, and then now almost definitely will be the Republican nominee for president. Tom Wolf couldn't write this narrative. Stranger than fiction. We've all gotten so used to Trump, we can't fully appreciate just how strange it is.
I think reality's finally set in for a lot of people that he's more than likely going to be the nominee. And even though that's completely terrifying and just, God, I don't even want to think about it. It's not something that's just shocking anymore.
You agree that it's just bizarre. It would be like Mike Tyson running for president and getting it or something like it. I mean, like, this is like Mr. T or Don King or somebody. I mean, it's just like this relic from the 80s who used to be in all this tabloid drama. He's always been this outrageous character who was such a joke for such a long time. I just feel like if you went back to like the 1980s and took a time machine and they go, who's going to be the nominee for president? Be like, oh, it's going to be Donald Trump. They would think it was like if they had that plot twist in one of the Back to the Future movies, like Back to the Future 2 or something, where it's like, oh, Trump's the president of the future. You know, like, I mean, everybody would laugh. Like in the theater, everybody would be burp, like, crack up laughing. It would just seem so crazy. It also seems like something that would be more likely to happen in another country. Like, I could see this happening in Bolivia or so, you know, like, I mean, like America or Italy. When Reagan got it, everything went out the window.
Yeah, it did.
Like, he lost a couple times before he got it, and then he got it in 1980. And a lot of people are pointing that out. Like, whenever they say, well, liberals don't get too confident, like, don't be like, oh, thank God it's Trump. Hillary can beat him with one hand tied behind her back. And it's like, don't be so sure. People about Reagan, too, 40 years ago.
I think the one candidate that has talked about it a lot is Ted Cruz, because everybody's always asking Ted Cruz about why nobody likes him, why nobody's Washington doesn't like him, and he's like, well, I'm a Washington outsider, and you know who else Washington didn't like, and that's Ronald Reagan. Like, at the same time, at least Reagan was popular with voters.
Yeah, Reagan was likable. Like, nobody ever asked Reagan, how come people don't like you? It's like, I always crack up. Do you crack up when a reporter asks Ted Cruz, why do people like you? Such a hilarious question to ask a grown man. Be like, why do people hate you? You know, it's just so funny. And I think you never would have heard anybody ask Reagan that, because, I mean, people like, the whole reason he became president was people liked him. So it was always like, but with Ted, it ain't just the political. It's like, I feel like he's hearing what he wants to hear. Like when somebody says, why do people have an instant hatred of you? He hears, oh, the Washington fat cats, they don't like me. And it's like, no, we mean people. We mean, like, everybody. Why do they not like? Why does your own daughter refuse to give you a hug whenever the cameras are on? You know, hearing that it's, like, D.C. only that doesn't like him instead of, like, no, in general. I feel like he must know he's not popular. And that Ted is, he's really slick. I feel like Ted Cruz is, even though I don't like him and I feel like he's dangerous, he is pretty smart. Like, I have to give, he's kind of like an evil genius. Like, I mean, he really does seem like the bad guy in an action movie. Ted Cruz is about as smart as Donald Trump thinks he is. Because Ted, I'm sure he knows people don't like him, but he's got that lizard brain that he can warp it into, like, nothing he says is ever true, but he knows how to warp it in a way that, like, there's no such thing as truth. He stretches right. the laws of truth. He's like Salvador Dali. I mean, he's abstract and all over the place with truth. I mean, they must ask him, like, what he wants for breakfast, and he's like, I think cereal would be the most patriotic thing a God-fearing American could eat. There's nothing you could ask him that he wouldn't turn into some grade A bullshit.
Yeah.
So big phony. And Trump, I mean, you had me laughing before we started recording where you were talking about his tendency to bring up how smart he is whenever he asks a question.
His victory speech or whatever, he was like, look, I'm really smart. I went to the best college. It's so funny how he's got to constantly remind people how smart he is.
I mean, I love it too, because like when you meet somebody who's really smart, they don't have to tell you that. Like Neil deGrasse Tyson is not like, I went to a really good school. I bitch slapped Pluto. It's no longer a planet because of me, because I'm really smart, guys. You know, like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Stephen Hawking, I mean, people that are really smart, they don't have to just constantly bring it up all the time. What was that thing Trump did where he had a doctor come testify that he passed an IQ test really high or something? He said that, oh, yeah, I scored really well at this IQ test, but he had a doctor come. Then he had his own personal doctor come say, Trump's health is outstanding. It's absolutely perfect, which is not really, that doesn't sound like a doctor would really ever say, like, his health is perfect. I mean, it didn't sound legitimate or whatever. I mean, it just seems like he's got, like, Michael Jackson's old doctor, and he pays him $100. Like, go out there and tell him how smart I am. Okay, Donald Trump has got the biggest, he's got his brain. What happened is his balls were too big, and some of it went up to his brain, and it made him really smart, and that's why he's got the biggest brain and balls you've ever seen. And he's like, exactly, folds his arms. But I have to say, I'm a little relieved that he's going to be the nominee, and I know a lot of liberals would go nuts if they heard me say that, because I think it's going to make the podcast interesting, having him around, because he's so unintentionally hilarious. Like, every fucking thing he does is just so stupid. Like, could you imagine Hillary and John Kasich for 6 months? I mean, come on.
Oh, God.
How boring. I mean, I love Hillary, but her and John Kasich would be like, I'm not going to let you have an abortion, but here's a hug. And then he'd give him a hug, and Hillary's like, I'm for love and kindness. And I'd be like, oh, man, please. It would be a good step for America, but, like, it's people who want to have a podcast and want to have something to say for 6 months. I mean, what are we going to be like? Oh, John Kasich hugged a puppy, the son of a bitch, you know? Like, how are you going to make it interesting? Well, I'm a little relieved that we're going to get, because Hillary and Trump is just perfect. It's like Jason Bateman and Carrot Top. I mean, it's like one's the straight man and one's the buffoon. Like, it's just such a perfect, Trump's going to come out there and just say dumb stuff for 6 months, but Hillary's going to roll her eyes and be the straight woman. She's going to be like, Donald, no, you're wrong again, you know? And I mean, it's just like such a, it's like a sitcom or something. It's Marge and Homer type scenario. So last week's podcast, I think we got into something really interesting. I thought we would have some blowback, but we actually had really positive feedback. I had a lot of people on Twitter compliment the podcast, and I had some different people give good reviews. So I was surprised. Last week was all about politically correct liberals and how they may be the new social conservatives and how they like to lecture people and kind of get on people's nerves about stuff. And, of course, I was bracing for a lecture of my own. You know, when we had that podcast, I was like, I can't wait to hear about how this is my white privilege talk. You know, like, I can't wait to hear how we're white explaining the problem and all this shit. You buy someone who's also white, because that's always who it is. You know, it's always funny, too, whenever people we're talking about, like, it's almost always like when you go to a website, it'll be like, well, here's why I don't agree with that, by Victoria Vandervon. Always somebody with, like, a really white Scandinavian, or, like, some dude from Holland, like Todd Vanderwolf or whatever.
There
was a guy critiquing The Simpsons for having the Apu character, and it was the whitest guy I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, it's always somebody like that. I was bracing for that kind of an impact, and we didn't get it, but this is a trilogy. So last week was about our politically correct liberals, the new social conservatives. This week is about Republicans. Are they more likely to forgive a sex scandal than liberals are? And then next week we're going to do something else that's going to be a little bit more surprising. And it's all kind of getting around this idea of, you know, with liberals, I mean, are they getting to a place where they're like a little sanctimonious? And they're not, and they don't know that they are, and they don't mean to be. And when I was criticizing, like, with politically correct liberals and social conservatism, the common thread is you've got two different groups of people that are basically saying there's only one way to be, and you got to be like this, and basically trying to define morality. And morality is the most subjective thing there is. And I think that that's what a lot of people maybe don't understand or don't get. And I think there's no better example of that than with sex scandals, because we've seen over and over and over again that Republicans, even though know, they're the party of Jesus and the party of evangelical values, they're a lot more likely to actually forgive a real sex scandal than liberals are. And liberals are kind of the party of supposedly, we're open-minded, anything goes. And yet, when a liberal gets into a sex scandal, they have to go. And they can't ever come back, and they have to leave, and I don't ever want to see them again. And so I'm going to quickly run through just a couple of examples. So people, they know Anthony Weiner, who not even actually had sex with anybody. Like, I mean, Anthony Weiner, I've never seen a guy give up that much for so little. Like, he didn't even get laid. The people that Anthony Weiner was tweeting with, some of those girls were like, well, we can meet in person if you want to. Ooh, no, I'm not going to meet you. You have germs. He didn't even want to meet these women. Like, it wasn't even about that. So you have Anthony Weiner. You have Elliot Spitzer, the former governor of New York, who used a prostitute. You had John Edwards. And so with Spitzer, you could be like, well, that is illegal. Prostitutes are illegal. But with John Edwards, I mean, he didn't break any laws. Like, I mean, the guy had an affair. And, it was sort of a Bill Clinton-ish type thing. I mean, he got his mistress pregnant or whatever. But, I mean, right after this happened, he disappeared from the face of the Democratic Party, yet he broke absolutely no laws.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people would say, well, what he did was wrong. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's not illegal. And it's not really like, I mean, people can do a lot of things that are wrong. And I don't know what it has to do with their job and what it has to do with their position. Bill Clinton, of course, is really the only Democrat who's had a major sex scandal and has had kind of been Teflon about it. Like, it's kind of bounced off of it. I don't think that was really the Democratic Party. Like, I think that was because Bill Clinton was the president, and the Democrats were like, we can't throw the president under the bus, especially one that's pretty popular outside of this scandal.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like if it had been Jimmy Carter, it would have been like, well, Jimmy, we just can't help you, you know?
Yeah.
And in fact, speaking of Jimmy Carter, back in 1980, he did an interview with Playboy when he was running for re-election that said he had lust in his heart. I don't know if a lot of people are probably too young to remember this. He said he had lust in his heart. So Jimmy Carter did not even actually have an affair, but just admitting that he had lustful thoughts cost him the presidency. Like, he's running against, again, at that time, Reagan was one of the very only presidents who's ever been divorced. We've had presidential candidates like John McCain and John Kerry since then who have been divorced, but at that time, Reagan was kind of brand new in that regard. A lot of people say you can't have a president who's been divorced, but we did. So a guy who's actually been divorced and actually had kids with different people or whatever, he beats a guy who just says that he had lust in his heart. So he didn't even actually do anything. And then with Anthony Weiner, we draw a parallel from Jimmy Carter to Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner's just, he's out there in, like, virtual reality and stuff. The problem with Anthony Weiner, he's in the wrong time period. Because if it was 30 years ago, there wouldn't be a Twitter for him to get in trouble with. Like, he would have been writing, like, sexy letters to Penthouse Forum or some shit, and nobody would care. So there wouldn't be a Twitter for there to even be a scandal. And if it happened 30 years later, like 30 years into the future, there'd be a virtual reality sex bot or something, and he wouldn't need. So he's just caught in between the media. Like, he's not far enough in the future that there's virtual reality, and he's not far enough in the past that Twitter doesn't exist. So he's just kind of like the social. You think we're going to see, this kind of a side tangent, but you think we're going to see a lot of candidates in the future tripped up over social media now that it's becoming bigger and bigger? Like, a lot of people who do stuff when they're 19 years old and they don't think about it, and then when they're 49, it's going to be like, well, you did something bad 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's something that a lot of people don't really think about social media today, that once you, I mean, we warn the kids about this. Once you put it out there, it's out there for good, and anybody can access it. But I think that's something that future elections, with some of the people who grew up with the internet, grew up with social media, they haven't really thought about all of this, and you're going to see a lot more things coming out, and you're going to see social media play a much bigger role when it comes to candidates' background and things like that.
Yeah, I think so. And if you think about it, something I thought about was we're in the exact worst generation for it too, because like people who were older, like people who are baby boomers now, like it's not really a big deal for them. And then people who are younger than us, they grew up with it so much that people were telling them, like, now every fifth and sixth grader has classes being like, watch out what you post on Facebook, watch out, like, don't get a Twitter account, like, watch out what you say. So they had like management. They literally came out with Facebook, started it when I was in high school, and then it got really big when I was in college. So we were like that first generation. Like, they created MySpace when we were just kind of getting computers. So they had MySpace, and then they got Facebook, kind of got big when we were in college, and then Twitter got big like right after that. So we were like in that early adapter social media generation where it was like we were all there and we were using it, but nobody was there yet to be like, oh, don't put this, don't go crazy with it or whatever. And then kids that are younger than us now, because they've got Snapchat and shit, like a 12-year-old can send a picture of whatever they want to, and it's gone in 30 seconds, or they think it's gone.
Right.
Probably not don't. But we've all got like all these protections now. Like there'll be an 11-year-old be like, oh, I would never send this unless it's through Snapchat because it deletes it. And I'm like, oh shit, I was 22 and didn't know that. So like, I just feel like we're in that worst. Like, I think a lot of people, the older we get, a lot of people are going to be like tripped up by this. Because when people were just getting on Facebook and Twitter and these social networking sites, like I think they had no control. Like, I think they just didn't even think about it. Like, I mean, it was such a different way. And you see it now where a lot of people get tripped up over emails. Like, there's a hacking scandal and somebody wrote an email being like, hey, Obama likes black movies, you know, or something, something dumb. And then they make a big deal of, like, when they did the, when they had the Sony hack, they had the producer and the studio executive. She lost her job because they were just writing, like, I bet Obama likes 12 Years a Slave. I bet he likes The Butler. Ha, ha, ha. Stupid, really stupid jokes. But again, like, we saw everybody reacting to this. Like, we saw Shonda Rhimes act like it was basically like a hate crime. You know, like, we saw everybody kind of like shitting on them. And I'm like, you're reading a hacked email. Like, you're reading something illegal. You know, like, I mean, this is like an illegal act. If somebody hacks into their email, the whole thing was over keeping that movie The Interview. So North Korea hacks into the Sony servers, or they get a Chinese hacker to do it for them and release all these emails out there and no disclosure or whatever. And I'm like, people are reading these emails and they're like, oh, shame on you for making these black jokes. And I'm like, but the only reason you're reading that is because North Korean hackers, enemies of the state, wanted to embarrass these people, and they leaked all this shit out there because they don't ever want them to make another movie again that would be critical of a fascist regime. So, you know, right after that happened, like, Warner Brothers had a movie about Gaddafi and they're like, nope, we're not making it. Forget it. You know, like, I mean, there was somebody who had a movie about China or Saudi Arabia or like Iran, and they're like, nope, we're just going to make movies about aliens, superheroes. We're just going to buck off into irrelevance and not make anything that remotely could offend anybody ever again. I've heard people say that they've tried to make movies about China that have yet cut because they know it. China has that much power and different stuff like that. I mean, what people were reacting to was so crazy, and I feel like Anthony Weiner must feel that way where people are like, well, can you believe he wrote this to this girl? And I'm like, I can't believe you're reading shit he wrote privately. Like, that still to me is like, this is clearly none of your business. I don't know. I mean, people say, well, they're politicians, everything's fair. And I'm like, well, Amy Pascal, the CEO of Sony, she's not a politician. She's a public figure. And I'm like, well, Don Sterling, he's not really. Well, he owned a basketball team. So every time we see like somebody get their phone hacked or their internet hacked or their whatever hacked and put out there, I feel like we could be hacked, and we're not public figures and we're not rich and we're not anything, but if we got hacked, but well, they got a blog, so you know, it's fair game. Like, I feel like there's just the type of person who wants to get their jollies off shitting on somebody else, and it doesn't even matter who it is. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, it could be anybody, and they just like tearing somebody down.
Yeah, let me tell you what these bloggers in Alabama wrote.
When you look at, like, all these Democrats that have been brought down by sex scandals, I think maybe the beginning of it was Gary Hart. People may not even remember him, but back in 1988, he should have been the Democratic nominee over Michael Dukakis. But Gary Hart, he was going to be the Democratic nominee. A lot of people say George H.W. Bush, he didn't want to run against Gary Hart. Like, he was afraid of him a lot more than Dukakis. They might have been responsible for leaking his sex scandal. Literally, in, like, a week's period, he went from a sure thing Democratic nominee to, like, drummed out of the party, and nobody's even heard of him. Like, even now, if you say the name Gary Hart, most people don't even know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But even back in 1988, when you look at his campaign, it was amazing. He was talking about stateless terrorism. So he was talking about, like, these groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda that don't belong to a nation, they belong to an ideology. That was back in 1988. Nobody was talking about that stuff because everybody was still caught up in the Cold War. But I was talking about communism, and he was talking about, like, transnational terrorist groups, and he was talking about the high-tech economy at a time when, like, everybody was like, how do we get these manufacturing jobs back, or how do we increase the manufacturing sector? He was talking about the high-tech economy that was coming and how we all need to get on board. He was talking about getting rid of fossil fuels. I mean, it really ahead of his time in almost every way. But he never became president because they linked him to a girl that we still don't really know what the hell happened. I mean, he might have been having an affair, but the media said he was having an affair, and within like 5 days, he went from being the Democratic nominee to dropping out of the race.
Yeah, he did.
It was like a week that this happened. It was crazy. All the examples I just gave are all on the Democratic side. But when you look at the Republicans and their scandals, so we'll get into that. Newt Gingrich, I mean, his entire life. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. Because, I mean, why isolate this to one instance? His life. Like, Newt Gingrich's life has been one long fucking Roman orgy. I mean, the guy just basically does what he wants to do, and yet he almost impeached Bill Clinton over a blowjob. And all of the Clinton attackers, by the way, basically had affairs going, like Henry Hyde and Newt Gingrich, they had affairs going on at the time they were prosecuting Bill Clinton. You had like the hypocrisy, and then Mark Sanford, the governor of South Carolina, which I actually kind of support that one, because a lot of people would be like, oh, Mark Sanford or whatever. But I feel like with his mistress, for people that might have forgotten this, because these sex scandals, they're so numerous, people kind of move on.
Yeah.
I feel like right, there's something about these sex scandals that causes collective amnesia, because there'll be Mark Sanford and everybody will be like, oh, my God, this is terrible, this is terrible. And then when Anthony Weiner comes along, they're like, oh, my God, we've never seen anything like this. I'm like, what about Mark Sanford? Who?
Yeah.
And then General Petraeus will come along, and they'll forget all about Anthony Weiner. So for a while, there was a sex scandal, like every couple of months, and we all had to act like it was the first time we'd ever seen anything like that.
Yeah.
It was just shocking and terrible. But Mark Sanford, he left governorship of South Carolina to go to Argentina to be with this woman or whatever, and he eventually, him and his wife got divorced. He eventually married this woman. But once he married her, he went from like this disgraced ex-governor to like now he's a congressman. He ran for Congress and won, and now he's in the Republican Party. He's like at all the debates and shit. Like they show him in the crowd with his wife, who's the Argentinian. Kind of like them as a couple, because when you read those love emails that they wrote, which I guess I'm being a hypocrite because I did read some of the emails that they wrote, and they were everywhere. I mean, we're talking about Yahoo, Huffington Post, Real Time with Bill Maher. These love emails, private emails, were everywhere. If you wanted to avoid these things, I don't know how you could have. But when you read them, it did seem like he was in love. Like it felt like it was a different kind of a thing. And we're liberals and we're Democrats, but I feel like the fact that I can look at Mark Sanford and be like, all right, that's who you want to be with. You'll be with that person. And I'm willing to give that to a Republican. Why are Democrats not willing to give that to other Democrats? Like, why are they still so, like, hung up on this shit?
Yeah, and that's a big question. And like I said, it's Democrats. It's not just the Republicans. I mean, nobody expects the Republicans to support a Democrat that has an affair. You don't get Republicans supporting Democrats, you know, who are named Jesus. So you're not going to get the Republicans, especially when there's an affair. Democrats, I mean, they're throwing their own under the bus. And that's something that it's hard to understand.
Somebody asked me a long time ago, back when Obama, you know, so Obama, I mean, I don't think he's ever, well, I don't know. I don't know if he's ever had an affair. You know, people always, Shill and Barack, they're the perfect marriage. And I'm like, I don't know that they're the perfect marriage, but even if they're not, it doesn't affect my opinion of him at all. Like,
really.
If Barack cheated on Michelle, or he left Michelle, or she cheated on him, it does not matter. Like, I do not care at all. It doesn't matter to me. Like, this idea that we need a politician with, like, a fairy tale personal life, I honestly think Democrats are more caught up on that idea than Republicans are. Because when you look at Republicans, I mean, like we just said, John McCain, their 2008 nominee, he'd been divorced. Donald Trump has been divorced twice. And Trump, the divorces are only the fucking tip of the iceberg with Trump. I mean, like, it is like the beginning of Trump.
Yeah.
But when you hear Republicans criticize Trump, I don't ever hear them talk about his personal life. Like, everything with Trump is like, the guy's not, he's not right-wing enough on abortion. I'm like, never mind the fact that Trump's probably forced like five of his mistresses to have abortions, you know? Like, never mind that. It's really more like about, with Republicans, it's really more about what they believe than it is about what they do. Like, it's really about, they can do whatever. David Vitter, the Louisiana congressman, who last year, I mean, people were shocked that he lost the governorship. He was going to be he was going to replace Bobby Jindal as the governor of Louisiana. He won the Republican nomination, and people were shocked that a Democrat won. And the idea that David Vitter was the hands-on favorite, this was a guy who probably should be in jail, actually. He used money to pay for prostitutes. He used, like, congressional funds to pay for prostitutes, and this guy's a pro-life, pro-family, anti-gay marriage, and so, I mean, I look at this, I'm like, David Vitter, who's paying for prostitutes, caught red-handed. I mean, there's no disputing this, and the Republican Party gathers around him, they circle the wagons, they support him, they keep this guy in office, and yet this guy, he's out there and be like, I've used prostitutes, and I'm against gay marriage, I'm against abortion, I'm against, you know, I'm pro-family values, I'm against gay adoptions. I mean, he runs through this list of social issues, and Republicans are fine with that. They're totally totally yeah. fine with that. With Trump, it never comes up anything about his infidelities or his busted marriages or his personal, nothing about his personal life. It's all about, well, he's not against abortion enough, and I think he might really support gay marriage. So their questions about Trump are nothing about how he's actually lived his life. It's about how strict he's going to be telling other people how to live their lives. And I find that to be a really big difference, which that seems like a disconnect. Like, there's no expectations of them in terms of how they're being asked to live their lives. It's only in terms of what their positions are.
And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with the Republican stance on a lot of issues today. And you see, they take these stances on certain issues, but they give it lip service only, and they don't really support them. And, you know, I see a lot of Republicans that will come out and talk about how something like, you know, we need to keep In God We Trust on our money. But it's like, who cares? They don't really care about that. You know, they pay it lip service, but they never do a thing to try to bother dealing with it. I mean, it's something that they're never going to think about. You know,
think about it, too. In God We Trust is a weird thing to be on a dollar bill, if you think about it. Like, if you really think about, like, I mean, even if you're religious, like, why would that be on your currency? You know, like, it seems like it feels like those would be incompatible. Like, it feels like it's a, we're like, well, we got to have a token of our religion on this money that Jesus probably wouldn't be for. So, yeah, I mean, I think so with Republicans, I mean, it's all about, like, the philosophy and the ideology and are you going to, like, it's nothing about how they live. It's all about, are you going to lecture people on how they should live and then set a difference? There have been legislatures where they ask them about, well, if your daughter was raped, would you allow her to have an abortion? They can't answer it, really. Like, they have to kind of go around the world not to answer it. And it seems like a different set of morality for them. With liberals, it's a different set of morality for them in that, in the opposite way, which is basically like, if you're like, liberals basically bend over backward to say anybody should be able to do what they want to sexually. And then when one of their politicians takes them up on that, it's like, get out. You disgust me. Kind of paraphrasing Bill Maher when he said this, but he had David Spade on and they were talking about being bachelors. I think David Spade's maybe in his early 50s and Bill's in his early 60s, but they're talking about being bachelors at that age and having women and never settling down. He said, I feel like I could come out here right now and say, I'm really transitioning into a woman. My name is Wilhelmina, and I'm gay. And everybody would clap and clap and clap. But if I said, oh, I'm 60 years old and I want to date a girl who's 30, they would boo me. They'd say, get out of here. I think he's not wrong. Like, I think that there's definitely, I think both parties are kind of picking and choosing what they want their morality code to be in a way that is, I mean, they're diametrically opposed, but I know exactly what he's talking about. Like, I think when you see, like just a celebrity example, Sarah Paulson, who was on The People versus OJ and American Horror Story, she typically, it's really older women. Like, she's a lesbian, and she dates, like, Sherry Jones, who's, like, in, like, her late 60s, and then stuff. These different women that are a lot older than her, like, sometimes twice her age. And I feel like that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like if she was straight and she was dating, like, Abe Pagoda, everybody would be like, look at that dirty old man. You know, look at that filthy piece of crap. And I feel like, I think if you saw a lesbian couple and it was, like, a 5-foot-tall Eskimo who's in her 50s with, like, a young, blonde, Scandinavian teenager, or like a young Nigerian teenager who's 18 and 6 foot tall, everybody would be like, oh, what a great couple.
Yeah.
If it was a liberal politician, like, I mean, Dennis Kucinich, he's like 60 and his wife's pretty young. She's tall. She's got red hair. She's pretty attractive. I mean, just, like, a lot of liberals who've seen them together are like, ooh, I don't know about this. I don't know how I feel about this. And I'm like, well, you don't have to feel any way about it because it's not you. You don't have to encourage or discourage. Like, it's not you and it's not really up to you how you feel about it. And that's what I'm saying is this, like, it's like a different type of this strict morality and this moral code. And I'm not saying infidelity is a good thing, but it's not illegal. I feel like if you had any other job in America and you said, oh, you're a great CEO of McDonald's, but you cheat on your wife, we're going to fire you. It would be grounds for a lawsuit. Like, I mean, a guy could sue the company for that. And so to tell Bill Clinton, you've been a great president. We really love the job you're doing. But get out of here because you had a blowjob in the world. Like, if that were any other job in America, the guy could take that to court and probably win. Like, I think there would, like, you would never put a ridiculous moral. Why do you think liberals feel entitled to tell politicians, like, about their personal life? Like, what do you think? Like, that seems so diametrically opposed to everything we believe. Why do you think we feel okay to do that?
Yeah, I really don't know. That's a great question.
I'm really not sure.
Heard a lot of people like, oh, well, Bill Clinton's a pig, and he's a chauvinist, and he's this and this and this. And I'm like, well, I don't know if he is. I never met the guy. I mean, I'm pretty, but, you know, it's like Bill Clinton is the fucking smoothest guy. He's smooth. I mean, there's just no way to put it. There's no other way to be around it. I mean, Bill Clinton's the kind of guy, like, you know, if you met Bill Clinton, like, you'd wake up the next day and be like, oh, my God, I slept with Bill Clinton. Now that silver-tongued devil, how did he do it? You know, how did he treat me into this? He's just smooth. And I feel like, I don't know what it is, but there's something about him that speaks from them. Even some of Hillary's biggest fans really don't like Bill because there's that kind of, like, he's the smooth, like, alpha male. I mean, he's got, like, something about him that I kind of like, and I kind of think the Democrats need a lot more of. Panache, I guess you'd call it style.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you would call it, swagger. I've always been saying that, like, if you could take good liberal ideals, like, if you could take the liberal ideals and marry it with that dumbass Trump Bush swagger, W and Trump, they just get that thing.
Yeah.
They've got that confidence. W could come in and be like, I believe dinosaurs ruled with humans, and humans rode them on their backs. And he said it so confidently that you'd be like, ah, oh, he's got a point, that guy. And I think Trump's got that same thing. Trump's wrong on every, I mean, like, he'll commit Saudi Arabia is Shia. Okay, that's interesting. You know, I mean, like, he'll just come in and say something totally wrong, and everybody will go along with it. If you could ever take liberal ideals and marry it with that swagger, and I think you'd really have something. And Bill Clinton's the closest we've really had to that, probably since LBJ. LBJ had that, and I think it really has totally disappeared in the last 50 years, except for Bill Clinton.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I even remember when that sex scandal was happening with Lewinsky, and it was like they kept trying to nail him, and Bill was kind of, like, dancing on the edge. You could kind of see it in his eyes, but he's like, well, it depends on what your definition of is. You know, like, he was driving them nuts when he was in the White House. When he was powerful, they hated him.
Yeah.
He could just drive them nuts. You know, like, he was just driving them crazy, and he had that devilish twinkle in his eye or whatever. And I think with Obama, with him, it's more he's just exhausted dealing with these assholes, which I don't blame him. I would be too. Like, I think with Obama, it's like, I don't enjoy this. Like, with Bill, I think he enjoyed antagonizing them a little bit. And with Obama, I think he's just like, I think he's got a calendar in his office where he counts down the days till he can retire. He's got I'm too old for this shit March, like January, the whatever, and he's got it circled on a map, and he's already got, like, the fastest way he's gonna get to Martha's Vineyard or whatever. Like, he's gonna be out of there so fast.
He's just got it on cruise control right now, and he's just trying his best to last out these last few days.
What do you think would happen if Obama had a sex scandal? Like,
oh God, he'd be in jail. This Congress.
Well, I used to laugh because when Obama, like, his first term, he was so popular with celebrities.
Yeah.
And you would always see Kerry Washington. I feel like Kerry Washington thought Obama was her boyfriend, like the way she would talk about him. She'd be like, Obama, last week he went and picked grapes out in the vineyard or something. And, like, she would just go on about him like they were best friends or something. And Scarlett Johansson, kind of the same thing. And I used to just laugh. I was like, oh my God, what if Obama had an affair with Scarlett Johansson? Like, it's just imagine the reaction. He would lose, first of all, he'd lose black women overnight. They would abandon him. Yeah. Like, I never trusted that Obama guy. I never liked that guy. He was always, like, I knew there was something about that guy. But, like, with Republicans, they'd be like, okay, so that's fine. Obama, when are you going to resign? Just so we have it in our schedule tomorrow, the next day. And they talk about the dignity of the office or some nonsense. We live in a party that we literally have told people they can do anything they want to do. Like, I mean, even stuff they should not, like, get a face tattoo. People talk about political correctness a lot of times. They're kind of confusing two different things. They're confusing, like, the right to be able to do whatever you want to do with, I have to like it. You know, so it's like, I think, like, you should be able to do whatever you want to do, absolutely, but I should be able to think that's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if you go out and get a face tattoo of a dolphin, you should be able to do that, but I should be able not to hire you for a job. I think they're confusing, everybody has to like my decisions, so I think it's just really confusing that you literally could have, like, I mean, you could have a Canadian lumberjack with full body tattoos being like, I'm transitioning into a woman named Beth, who just so happens to be into dolphin porn, and we're going, I mean, like, they would embrace, like, anything you could think of on the social spectrum, and everybody would clap, and then at the same time be like, oh, but I cheated on my wife. You have to leave the country, like, the whole way for it. On the liberal side, they say, well, I voted for that person. And I'm like,
yeah.
And? When I go into a frozen yogurt shop, and I get a frozen yogurt cone, and I buy that cone, that doesn't give me permission to tell the shop owner what he can do. I can't tell him who he should date, or what he should do, and, like, I just feel like there's nothing else in America that we think of that way. When I go into a Subway sandwich shop, I don't ask the cashier, are you faithful to your spouse? Because it's really important before I buy that bag of potato chips. Because if you're not, I'm out of here. I'm not buying that recipe sandwich. them somehow. I mean, there's nothing else we think about that way. And yet with politicians, it's just the one time that they've done this to a Republican where they railroaded a Republican, it was David Petraeus. And I don't think they should have.
Yeah.
Like when they had the thing with Petraeus and they got rid of him. No, I don't think they should have. I think you should have been able to stay. You lost a really good general. I mean, you lost a really good military mind. And I mean, it was up to him. I think he resigned. And
he didn't do enough to warrant being removed. Well, when you look at the bigger picture and the type of person he was and the type of leadership that he brought to the table. You know, obviously, we're not talking about Eisenhower removing...
I mean, Petraeus, he's not General Patton. He's not a brilliant military mind. He's not McCarthy. He's not Patton. He's not Eisenhower. But what he did do was he ushered in a change, basically the counterinsurgency change to the military. Mm-hmm. Like he basically ushered in that wave of like, I mean, and that was important because we're fighting a different kind of enemy. And I feel like more than anybody else in the military, he understood that. And so he kind of ushered this idea that like the militias of Baghdad and the terrorist groups of Yemen, you cannot fight them the way you've been fighting the Cold War. You have to embrace that change, and if you fight them the same way you prepare to fight communist dictators in the '80s, you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose every time. So I think he ushered in that counterinsurgency change, but people he's gotta go because he cheated on his wife. I think in the political world, really bright, promising minds, I mean, hell, who knows what Anthony Weiner could do, you know?
Yeah.
And he kind of brought these problems on himself because, I mean, after he got caught the first time and then he ran again for mayor of New York, he did the same thing twice. I sit here and, I mean, it's on the one hand, it's a little hard to be nostalgic for the Anthony Weiner, mayorship because I'm like, he might have spent 12 hours a day just fucking looking at women on Twitter, like he might have just been like looking at like webcams 18 hours a day and been like, Anthony, what are we going to do with the police pensions? Not now. I'm on Tinder. Leave me alone. I mean, he might have just wasted a lot of time. But I thought Judd Edwards was promising. I mean, before Bernie Sanders, there was John Edwards. John Edwards was talking about poverty and healthcare nonstop. I mean, in 2008, he was the Bernie Sanders of that campaign. I know that sounds crazy to people, but he was all about Medicare and universal healthcare and income inequality and poverty. He was the strongest voice the Democrats had for poverty at that time period. And because he wound up with a woman in questionable way while his wife had cancer or whatever, he had to go away forever, even though Newt Gingrich did the same thing. I mean,
exactly.
Newt Gingrich did the same thing, and he came in runner-up in 2012 in the presidential race. He won a few states. So, I mean, if it hadn't have been that he was just a terrible candidate, he might could have taken Mitt Romney. Who knows? If you're a Southern Democrat like Edwards, you leave the party. If you're a Southern Republican like Newt Gingrich, you might become president. And Newt Gingrich, he's had a Crossfire show. He's always on TV. He's always getting interviewed. I mean, people still treat him with respect. And I don't think John Edwards could be interviewed by the National Enquirer right now. Like, I think, John Edwards, we're not here. Don't answer the phone. We don't want to be associated with him. So I feel like he's been totally airbrushed out of the party.
Yeah, because I can't recall the last time I've heard anything about John Edwards.
People listen to this podcast have heard his name more in this hour than like the last 5 years probably because he really has been totally thrown out of the party. And I mean, at least with Anthony Weiner or Elliot Spitzer, you still see them on TV. I mean, Spitzer was a great governor. That's the thing I'm saying. Nobody says that Anthony Weiner was a bad congressman, and nobody says Elliot Spitzer was a bad governor, and nobody says John Edwards was a bad senator. They all say Edwards, he fought for poverty, and Elliot Spitzer, he took on Wall Street. Anthony Weiner, he took off all the shit that Bernie, that he blowhards about 18 hours a day. Weiner and Spitzer and Edwards, like, they were doing it better. They did it better and stronger and more forcefully. Hell, maybe Bernie should have an affair. He might actually get something done. He might get one of those 400 bills to Congress. I think when tie in, like, politicians' professional life with their personal life, I think you're going to lose a lot of good politicians. And I think with the generation that's coming up, who knows, man? I mean, the kids out there now, kids that are like 8, 9, 10 years old, I mean, when we're like old men, we're going to be like, can you believe that John Edwards III had sex with that robot or something? Like, there'll be some new high tech, it'll be these kids today, they've got hover cars and all they do is go on these pleasure cruises with them and run around the Central Park having affairs. I mean, there'll be the technology of just be crazy. There'll be somebody's transgendered robot geisha in the shape of a dolphin on the news being like, I'm in love with Bart Sanford Jr. Michael, what's your web address for us?
blueinalabama.wordpress.com.
Join us next week when we'll be talking about should red states and blue states swap positions. I think it's going to be really good. We're going to get into some stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody.